Let's worship the Lord now by singing to his praise from Psalm 68 on page 301. Psalm 68, page 301. We'll sing verses 1 to 6 to the tune Crediten. And here we're asking God to rise. You may feel it's impertinent to actually ask God to rise. Let God arise and scattered. Let all his enemies be. Let all those that do him hate before his presence flee. It's not wrong to ask God to rise and to act when you know that it's only he who can deal with a situation. And you may know in your own life or somebody else's life situations where only God can deal with these things. Use this as a prayer, asking him to act that the righteous will then be glad, and so on. Psalm 68, verses 1 to 6, to God's praise.
Let God arise and scatter it, let all his enemies be, and let all those that to him hate before his presence flee. As smoke is grim, so dry go them, as fire melts, wax away. Before God's face, let me take men, so perish and decay. But let the righteous be glad, let them before God's eye be very joyful.
Lord, we recognize that there are many, many situations in which you place us, where we feel that we have the strength and the wisdom and the gifts to cope. And we thank you, Lord, that that has been the case for much of our lives. And yet, Lord, there have been situations in which you have placed us, where we knew that we could not cope. We didn't have the gifts, and we certainly didn't have the strength. You, Lord, are the one who lifted us up. You are the one who went before us. You are the one who broke up the way. You are the one who dealt with the enemy. Lord, we realize that we cannot ultimately cope without you at all. And even the gifts and the wisdom and the strength and the power that we have, even that, Lord, is from you. If you were to drop these things for a moment, we know, Lord, that we would have nothing. We would be quivering wrecks. Lord, we thank you that for our own good, you allow us to experience that from time to time. In your wisdom, Lord. And we ask, O Lord, that you would help us to appreciate you more and more each day. Not to take you for granted, but to walk with you and to appreciate the wonder that you walk with us. You promised that you would be with your missionary church to the end of the age. What a privilege, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would make your church conscious of your presence. We pray, Lord, that you would make your believing people, your witnessing people, those, Lord, who are trying to share the gospel, to make disciples among their own children, among their neighbours, among their friends and colleagues at work. You promised, Lord, that you would be with them. And we pray, Lord, that that would become very evident. Forgive us, Lord, if we have relied upon ourselves far too much in the mission of the gospel. We pray, Lord, that you would remember any of your people in particular tonight who are facing awful enemies, difficult situations. Those, Lord, who feel that their lives and their communities are under threat. Those, Lord, who fear the every time they come to worship. We little realize just the freedom that we have, the peace that you have given to us, peace that we have often squandered. We pray, Lord, for your blessing upon this congregation. Bless us as we gather tonight. Draw from our hearts worship. Draw us, Lord, to acknowledge you with every word that we sing in the Psalms. Give us, Lord, a heart that responds to you. Be pleased, Lord, to be among us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This consecutive reading, I understand, is in Matthew chapter 1 tonight. Matthew in chapter 1. God is in control of the whole of history. He always knew that Christ would come, and through him salvation for sinners like us. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab, Amminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab, Boaz begot Obed by Ruth, Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Amon, and Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah, and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiud, Abiud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Asur. Asur begot Sadok, Sadok begot Achim, Achim begot Eliud. Eliud begot Eliezer, Eliezer begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David till the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless to us that reading of his own holy, inspired word. Let's sing further now from Psalm number 3 on page 3. We'll sing the whole of this psalm to the tune Soldo, another psalm where the people of God are conscious of the enemies that surround them. And again, only the Lord can deal with these enemies and allow the people of God to settle down and sleep in peace. And maybe you know someone who actually is not thus able to settle down and sleep in peace. He needs to wake in God's upholding hand. Make this a prayer for the persecuted church, for individuals that are under trial under the enemy. Psalm 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many up against me rise? They all are saying now of me, in vain he on his God relies. A whole psalm to God's praise.
O Lord, how many are my foes? How many up against me rise? They all are saying now of me, in vain he on his God relies. But you are my protector, Lord. You are a shield around me spread. My glory comes from you alone, the one who raises up my head. When to the Lord I lift my voice, in face of those who the Lord will hear my cry to him and answer from his holy hill. I settle down and sleep in peace. I wake in God's upholding hand. I will not fear 10,000 foes who surfing round against me stand. Arise, O Lord, hear me, my God, deliver, Lord, your mercy save. Strike all my enemies on the jaw, the weak is deep in pieces break. The Lord alone deliverance sent, no other source of
Turn now to the book of Numbers and chapter 10. Numbers and chapter 10. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. When they blow both of them, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. When you sound the advance a second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron the priests shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, your appointed feast, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God." Now it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel set out from the wilderness of Sinai on their journeys. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. So they started out for the first time, according to the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. The standard of the camp of the children of Judah set out first according to their armies. Over their army was Nashon the son of Amminadab. Over the army of the tribe of the children of Issachar was Nathanael the son of Suar. And over the army of the tribe of the children of Zebulun was Eliab the son of Helon. Then the tabernacle was taken down, and the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari set out carrying the tabernacle. And the standard of the camp of Reuben set out according to their armies. Over their army was Elisur, the son of Shedeur. Over the army of the children, tribe of the children of Simeon, was Shelumiel, the son of Serushaddai. And over the army of the tribe of the children of Gad, was Eliasaph, the son of Juel. Then the Kohathites set out, carrying the holy things. The tabernacle would be prepared for their arrival. And the standard of the camp of the children of Ephraim set out according to their armies. Over their army was Elishama, the son of Amihud. Over the army of the tribe of Manasseh was Gamaliel, the son of Petasur. And over the army of the tribe of the children of Benjamin was Abidan, the son of Gideoni. Then the standard of the camp of the children of Dan, the rear guard of all the camps, set out according to their armies. Over their army was Ahiezer, the son of Amishaddai. Over the army of the tribe of the children of Asher was Pagiel, the son of Ochran. And over the army of the tribe of the children of Naphtali was Ahira, the son of Enan. Thus was the order of the march of the children of Israel, according to their armies, when they began their journey. Now Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, 'I will give it to you.' come with us, and we will treat you well. For the Lord has promised good things to Israel. And he said to him, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my relatives. So Moses said, please do not leave. Inasmuch as you know how we are to camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes. And it shall be if you go with us. Indeed, it shall be that whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same we will do to you. So they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of 3 days. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them for the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was above them by day when they went out from the camp. So it was when the ark set out that Moses said, rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, let those who hate you flee before you. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. Again, may the Lord bless to us that reading of his own holy, inspired word. Let's bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Lord, we are very conscious that you are the one who leads your people. And we seek, O Lord, even this night to be led into your own presence. We want, Lord, to meet with you. We ask that you would reveal yourself to us, even as Moses of old did not want to repeat the mistakes that Aaron did, that he wanted to see the glory of the Lord within the cloud. We also, Lord, want to see the glory. You have revealed yourself to us in the face of Jesus Christ. Imagine that in the face of this human being, you revealed your glory. You revealed things about yourself. Lord, you have touched our lives and touched our hearts. You have brought us to see that grace and truth came in their fullness in Jesus Christ. And today, Lord, we want to bathe in that grace and truth. We want to receive of that fullness every day. We ask, Lord, that you would make us more and more conscious of how much we owe to you in Christ. And we pray that the evil one himself, the great enemy of our souls, the one who seeks to destroy the good that we have begun to enjoy, the one who seeks to distract us so that we see and feel no need for your glory. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to say to him what your own Son said, depart from me, Satan. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us day by day to do just that and to live to will your will with the whole of our will. For your honour and glory we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing now from Psalm 76 on page 99. Psalm 76 from verse 7 to the end of the psalm. When God acts. For you alone are to be feared. Before you who can stand? Who can endure your anger, Lord? The judgments you command. From heaven your verdict was pronounced. The land was hushed in awe. When you arose to save the poor and vindicate your law. When God acts, he can make himself known that the Lord alone is great. He must surely be revered. The will of rulers he subdues. By earth's kings he is feared. Do you really believe that the Lord alone is great and that he can bring the kings of the earth to do his will? If you do, let's sing this psalm to his glory. Psalm 76, 7 to the end.
In Judah's land.
Turn together now to Numbers in chapter 10, reading at verse 33. Numbers 10, reading at verse 33. So they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of 3 days, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them for the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out from the camp. So it was, whenever the ark set out, that Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, let those who hate you flee before you." And when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel." I want to look at 3 things based on the passage as a whole, but to focus on the last thing in particular. 3 things: leaving the mountain, journeying with God, travelling in prayer. And I think for all of us, we are on a journey, every single one of us here tonight. Those of us who are believers are on a journey. You read the book of Hebrews. That has the theme of journey flowing all the way through it, and you and I are on a journey into the deep presence of God Himself, to the heavenly city that God has prepared for us. Well, that journey theme that you find in Hebrews, of course, begins way back in this Exodus, when the people of Israel are taken out of Egypt and they journey to the promised land. And it's amazing that the Lord allowed his people to go through all that they went through so that what happened to them could be an example to us in our generation. Here in Numbers 10, they leave the mountain. They leave the mountain. In verse 33 there, so they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of 3 days, leaving the mountain. It's remarkable. They had gathered at that mountain of the Lord, and that's what it's called, the mountain of the Lord, because the Lord himself came down on that mountain. The people of Israel were allowed to see the glory of God in a measure. The cloud came down, darkness came down, the mountain burned with fire, the mountain literally shook. The people were told God is coming down. They watched their leader Moses going up the hill on several occasions to meet with him. On one occasion, he disappeared for 6 weeks, 40 days, before he came back down. all because the Lord was on the mountain. They received the Ten Commandments on that mountain. They hadn't been written in stone before, now they were. They received many statutes and commandments and ordinances that we find recorded for us in the book of Exodus and Leviticus and the early part of Numbers. All of that revelation was given. Sinai, the name of the mountain, that mountain was a very, very precious, precious place. But now, the time comes when they're leaving the mountain. And you notice they never ever went back. For all the great things that they experienced on the mountain, they never went back as a nation. Individuals went back. On one occasion, Elijah went back. Maybe he went back there to recall the glory of the Lord, because he was such a depressed man himself at that time. But the nation as a whole never went back to Mount Sinai. It wasn't a mountain for dwellings. That was to be Mount Zion. This was to be a mountain where they would receive much and then move on. The journey would take them away from there. It wasn't the final resting place of God, as it were, leaving the mountain. I'm sure some of them would have found it quite hard to leave the mountain. If you've enjoyed great things, and these people, they had enjoyed great things. They had experienced much. But they had also seen terrible things. They had seen many people put to death because of the worship through the golden idol, the golden calf, that Aaron led the people to do. It was an awful place, and it was a beautiful place. But now they are leaving the mountain. Strange thing, of course, they couldn't choose to leave the mountain when they wanted. It had to be when God wanted. And you notice at the beginning of the chapter, there's mention made of these two silver trumpets. Two silver trumpets made of hammered work, and the priests, the sons of Aaron, were to blow them. And when these trumpets would be blown by the priests, something would always happen. It was never just a tune to be listened to relax to. It wasn't classical music like that at all. If the trumpet blew, something was to be happening. Either the people were to rise up and move as a camp onwards, or there may be war, there's an enemy coming, and they are to prepare and get ready. Or it may be that there's a festival. There was always something to do when the trumpet sounded. And isn't it amazing how good the Lord is that He actually gave that sound? Now, a trumpet could never be heard by 2 million people. The trumpet would be sounded by the priests. And then somebody would have to pass on the message, the trumpets have sounded. And this is the sound that they're making. Get ready to move. We're leaving the mountain. And that message would ripple all the way through that the people of God were on the move. And it's a real privilege when that is happening. But it can also be a scary time when the Lord sounds the trumpet. For some of you, the Lord sounded that trumpet and brought you to this congregation. He's the one who brought you here. You maybe were happily settled elsewhere. And you felt, as it were, the Lord sounding that trumpet, and He brought you to this place. You didn't expect to be here at all. You were enjoying the revelation of God somewhere else, but the Lord sounded the trumpet, and you moved forward. I suppose for all of us, when we came to know Christ for the first time, it's as it were the trumpets were sounding for us. And now that we've begun to serve the Lord, the trumpet of God may be calling us to serve Him in different ways. Be always open to hear the equivalent of the silver trumpets. There's no silver trumpets today, of course. What we do have is the Word of God. We do have access to God in prayer. You have the advice of your fellow Christians and especially the leaders that God has placed over you. And you are to listen when you feel this prompting to go and do something for the Lord. Whatever that may be, to reach out to this area. Do you feel burdened to do that? Do you feel the pressure? Do you feel God saying, now we're strengthened, let's in some way reach out to our neighbours? Do any of our neighbours know the gospel? Are the trumpets sounding to lead us forward in these ways? There are times when we have to leave our comfort zone and leave the mountain. Second thing though, journeying with God. Journeying with God. Very good. When they journeyed with God, what happened? Two things went before them. The first thing was the cloud, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. The second thing was the ark of the Lord. The first thing, the pillar of cloud, it was enormous. The silver trumpets could only be heard by those who were nearby, and then the news had to ripple through to the rest of the camp. But the pillar was so huge it could be seen. And it was intended to be seen by everyone. They could come outside of the tent and they would look and they would see the pillar of cloud. And it didn't matter what time of day it was, whether it be daytime or nighttime, they would see the pillar. By night it would shine. By day it could be seen. The Lord Himself was present inside that cloud. And He wanted that to be known. It was to be the pillar of cloud in which the Lord Himself was with His people. Now, you might say, pillar of cloud. That's not going to be much protection. I mean, what can a cloud do for you? Let me tell you. Remember there was one time when He came out of Egypt and you had the biggest army on earth chasing after them. And Pharaoh himself at the head of the army. And you would think, there this army is with all the technology, all the might of the day, all the chariots, everything. And here are the Israelites. And they really seem to be struggling. They've got nothing. And you think, surely the army is going to win and destroy the Israelites. And what happens? A cloud comes in between the Egyptian army on the one side and the Israelite people on the other. A cloud. Surely you think the army could just go through the cloud. Only a pillar of cloud. That one pillar of cloud was able to make darkness over this army and light over the people of God. Because it wasn't just a cloud. The Lord Himself was present. And that was the beauty, see, all the time that they journeyed, the Lord Himself was going before them. Every day, every night, whenever they journeyed, the Lord wanted them to know that He was there. Now, do you have a pillar of cloud today? Do you have a pillar of fire by night? Obviously not. You don't look out your window and see any such thing. But you have something even better. You have the Holy Spirit of God living inside you. He actually lives in your heart if you're a Christian. The Spirit of God could not be closer to you than He is this night. He is there. And if He's there, and you are His temple, He will make Himself known. But not only do you have the Spirit of God, you have the Word of God. Because you have the whole Scripture. The people of Israel didn't have this. They may have had some of it. Certainly the folks who came after them would have Genesis through to Deuteronomy. And then book by book was added as the centuries went on. But you have all 39 books of the Old Testament, all 27 of the New Testament. You have the complete Word of God to man. And this is to assure you of the Lord's presence, the Lord's guidance, and the Lord's protection. But not only do you have the Spirit of God within you, the Word of God before you, you have the people of God around you. And the beautiful thing is that the people of God are actually intended to be an encouragement to one another. You are. Have you ever been in a situation when it was bad, when you were low, when you felt lost, when things seemed very, very dark, and you really couldn't see the way ahead, and you just longed for help, and then someone arrived, or a phone call came, or a text buzzed on your phone, just something happened. One of the Lord's people actually got in touch, came around. And you know, it was beautiful. I remember long ago, my fourth daughter, Rachel, she was very, very ill when she was a child, and we nearly lost her. She was 2.5 years old, and she had suffered with a burst appendix for 2 days, and we didn't know that it had burst, and she was full of poison. And we were barely able to save her. And when she eventually came through into intensive care, I couldn't pray. Just could not get the words together, couldn't get my mind together, wasn't able to think straight. I wanted to pray, I wanted help, I wanted guidance, I wanted assurance, but I couldn't ask for it. And just when I was feeling at my lowest, the Lord sent a minister, Reverend Ronald Mackay, who's now with the Lord. And Ronnie Mackay came in and he prayed. And he said, everything in the prayer that I wanted to pray and couldn't. And that man to me on that day was like the equivalent of the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire. He just brought me the assurance of God's protection, His love, His guidance. It was literally sweet. I know that's not a cool word to use these days, but sometimes we should use these words because they reflect reality. It was literally sweet. Well, these Israelites, they were journeying with God. They had the pillar of cloud. The second thing they had was the Ark of the Lord. The Ark of the Lord was just a small chest of wood with a lid on it. The lid was called the mercy seat. And the ark itself, this chest, all covered with gold. The top part of it actually looked, and is intended to look, like a throne. Because guess what? The Lord Himself was enthroned there. This was His throne. Of course, He never sat there in one way. You would never be able to look, perhaps, and see somebody actually sitting there. That's what it symbolized. The God who dwelt between the cherubim. God enthroned among His people on the Ark of the Lord. Well, see, the Ark of the Lord speaks of God being present as King, as the Royal One, as the Majesty. When the people of Israel knew that the ark was going before them, they knew God was present in all His royal power, and they were absolutely thrilled with that. And when they saw the lid of this ark, the place in which the Lord Himself was enthroned, they say, isn't that the place sprinkled with blood? Isn't that where our sins are dealt with? Is it true that God the King deals with our sin in His mercy and then leads us through life as our King? Yeah, the Ark of the Lord. And the Lord, He didn't didn't create the pillar and provide the ark just for the fun of it. It was actually because the Lord's people needed it. They needed all that he was providing here. They journeyed with God. And your journey. Are you consciously journeying in the presence of God, under the guidance of God, with the protection of God, knowing the kingship of God for you, over you? There are so many things in Scripture to encourage you that that's the way all the Lord's people are. In my prayer tonight, I was thinking of the Great Commission. Go make disciples of all nations. You've reached Cobham. I will be with you. I will be with you. What a tremendous promise. I will be with you. Journey with God. The third thing, we'll spend a wee bit more time on this, traveling in prayer. Leaving the mountain, journeying with God, traveling in prayer. That's what we have in verse 35 here. So it was, whenever the ark set out, that Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, let those who hate you flee before you." When it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel." Isn't it interesting? It didn't journey in silence. You've got all this people of God, all these mighty armies, all these powerful tribes led by Moses. They knew that God was going before them. There's the pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire. They knew the ark of the Lord was present. And you might have thought, well, God knows what he's doing. Let's just leave it to him. No, they didn't. They prayed. And here the prayer is uttered by the spokesman, by the leader, Moses himself. Whenever the ark set out, they didn't stand in silence and in awe. No, a prayer was uttered. Why was this prayer uttered? Two things. A confession of faith, an expression of need. A confession of faith. Rise up, Lord. Rise up, Lord. I mean, some folks, when they would see the ark being carried, they would have thought, just a box. Not for Moses it wasn't. For him, this was the Lord journey. Rise up, Lord. It was a confession of faith. This is Moses uttering what he believed, that the Lord was going before his people. But it is also an expression of need. Because Moses was so aware, not only of the Lord's presence, but of the presence of the enemies of God's people. And because he was so aware of the presence of these enemies, he cried out this prayer, "Rise up, Lord, let your enemies be scattered, let those who hate you flee before you." So here you have this confession of faith, this expression of need, this prayer, at the beginning of each journey, and at the end of each stage of the journey. At the beginning of each journey, he would cry out in prayer, "Rise up, Lord, let your enemies be scattered, let those who hate you flee before you." Moses, very conscious there are enemies out there. They're journeying through enemy territory. Some of these people would make it very hard for them to pass through. Moses would cry out to the Lord, "Lord, these enemies, they're united. And when the enemies are united, they're strong. Lord, scatter them. Deal with them. Break them up. They seem so composed in your presence, Lord. They seem so united, threatening your people. Lord, you rise up. You scatter these enemies. Let them flee before you. Make them lose their composure." And that's exactly what Moses prayed. You and I, do you think that when we become Christians, life becomes a bed of roses? Of course not. Do you think that when we once follow the Lord, that the devil shrugs and says, oh well, that's then gone? Not at all. He will renew all his might in order to attack you, your family, your congregation. The enemy prowls like a roaring lion, we are told, seeking whom he may devour. Now you might say, that's just nice metaphorical language. No, it's not. That's the reality. That he is lion-like, he's a devourer, and he's ready to destroy. You and I cannot cope without the help of the Lord himself. We need him to deal with our enemies. We need him to scatter them. Every mission of the church to the nations will come into conflict with Satan, who blinds the nations. It doesn't matter, you may be in a very prosperous part of the world. Satan is at work here. He blinds the nations. He blinds the people. He's active in every human being here who hasn't experienced the grace of God. He blinds the nations. He deludes them. He keeps them from seeing the gospel of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's enemy territory. Paul himself in Ephesians 6, he talks about the rulers, the authorities, the principalities, the powers, the dominions. He's well aware of these rulers in the darkness that are opposing the gospel mission. And that's why he asks for prayer. Moses was exactly the same. If you're praying for the mission of the church, and I know you are, this is the kind of language you should use in your prayer. Lord, you act. You protect your people. You scatter their enemies. I've been listening to 50 radio talks by Martin Sixsmith, who used to be the BBC's Russia correspondent. And he's done a superb series on the Wild East, history of Russia from around the turn of the first millennium to the modern day. Very interesting. And here he's talking of, in the latter talks about the rise of communism and the awful persecutions under Stalin, and then how that crumbled. He doesn't mention God in that series. You possibly wouldn't expect him to. The amazing thing is, though, that communism fell because the Lord's people are crying out, rise up, Lord, let your enemies be scattered, let those who hate you flee before you. Pol Pot in Cambodia, have you read The Killing Fields, The Living Fields? Again, how did that regime fall? China becoming open to the gospel. Why is that happening? Nebuchadnezzar being brought to bow and pray to Yahweh, the living God. Why does that happen? Because the Lord hears the cries of his people. Rise up, Lord. Act, Lord. And he does. We need that prayer for people to be converted and then for them to continue to grow in grace. At each journey's beginning, at each day for you, surely. But then, finally, at each journey's end, when the ark rested, Moses said, return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. It's remarkable. When the ark was journeying out, I mean, you had a huge army of people. We read the names of the army of the tribe of Zebulun, Naphtali, Dan, and so on. Loads of armies. But they needed the Lord to go before them. And it doesn't matter how many is in your church. You could have 2,000, 3,000 in the church. It doesn't matter. Without the Lord, you can do nothing. On the other hand, you can have a small number, and with the Lord going before you, the enemies will be bowed. But now the ark comes to rest. The pillar of a cloud is stopped. The tabernacle has been set up. And the tabernacle was always set up when the people came to rest. It was never just kept in a bundle. No. When the people stopped journeying, the ark and the tabernacle was always set up. Worship was always primary. And when it happened, what does Moses say? Return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. Now you might say, well, I can understand why you would need protection when you're journeying. But now that you've arrived, now that you're in the place, now that you've got thousands of Israel there, you've got all these armies camped around you, surely it's a time to relax. And Moses says, no, we need the Lord. Thousands of Israel, even many thousands of Israel, but we want the Lord. Return, O Lord. You've gone before us to fight our enemies. Now that we're at rest, we still need you. You ever found, maybe it's just me, but have you ever found that in your times of rest, you often experience the most awful temptations? You ever found at the times when you begin to relax that these are the moments where the enemy seems to come ever closer, trying to prod and destroy? He will not respect your rest. He will certainly not respect your Lord's day rest. He will not respect any rest that you have. The enemy is equally powerful when you're on the move as when you're at rest. So Moses makes this confession of faith, this expression of need, Lord, we need you. We need you, return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. It's actually a scary place to be in a place where you know only the Lord can help. God's people, what a privilege. But the Lord alone, when only He can help, when you're at your extremity and when nobody else can help you, when you're ready, as it were, to go over the edge. My mother, when she became a Christian, she was, in her mind, dying of pleurisy. And she felt in a dream, sort of half awake, half dreaming, she felt as if she had come to the edge and she had nothing. She had no salvation, no Christ, lost, and she just fell off the edge. And when she fell off the edge in this dream, whatever you call it, as she was falling down, she says, arms opened underneath me, and I fell into the arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms. That's the night she became a Christian. She was at the extremity. She thought she was dying. She would live to be married, follow the Lord for 60 years, and then go home in 2007 to glory. But she knew that, not quite a thrill, but she knew the foundational reality of having God at the very heart of her life. Nothing more than you can also experience in Christ. And all of you have become Christians. This is what you need to do. Leave the mountain. Be ready to journey wherever the Lord calls you. Your journey may have brought you here. This is maybe where you are to serve the Lord for the rest of your life. Great. But what are you going to do here? What's the silver trumpet sounding for you? journey with God. Don't seek to walk on your own. Journey with Him. Seek His presence, His protection, His guidance. Remind yourself in prayer before Him every day that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And travel in prayer. Don't become a prayerless Christian. Few things sadder in the Christian world than a prayerless Christian. Bring your faith to God. He loves to hear your faith expressed. Don't just be silent. Come to Him. Yes, you can read in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." That's spoken though. This is the psalmist saying it. Be still and know that I am God. This is in quoting the Lord Himself, and He knows so well. You and I must come to such a God at the beginning of each journey and at the end of each journey, mindful of the enemy. Let's not be fools. Let's not just live to praise Him. Let's live to serve Him. Lord, we would ask that You would be pleased to lead us in Your own path. Help us, Lord, to follow You wherever You lead. Help us to hear the voice that says, this way, this way. We pray, Lord, that You would be pleased to uphold every single believer in this congregation. We pray that You would remember David as he comes back to them shortly. And we ask, Lord, that You would minister to him as he ministers to others. May it be, Lord, that You would protect him and Meg and the family from the enemy. Keep them safe, Lord. Bring glory to Yourself through this congregation of Your people. And may the young ones who are here tonight, may they be leaders in the days to come. May they be the spokesmen. May they be the ones who would lead others to cry out to God, "Rise up, O Lord." We ask this for Your glory in Jesus. Amen. Let's close now by singing to God's praise, a psalm that we often used to sing when we would journey, and I'm sure you do as well. Psalm 121 on page 416, traditional version of Psalm 121. I to the hills will lift mine eyes. From whence doth come mine aid? My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. To the end of the psalm, to God's praise.
I to the hills will lift mine eyes. From whence doth come mine aid? My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. Thy foot healeth, let light, nor will he slumber that he keeps. Behold, he that keeps Israel, he slumbers not, nor sleeps. The Lord be keep, the Lord thy shade, from thy right hand doth stay. The moon by thy feet shall not smite, nor yet the sun by day. The Lord shall keep thy soul, he shall preserve thee from all ill. And for thy going out and in, God keep forever will.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.